Hello, everyone! As a heads up, this episode has been divided into two parts. You are now listening to part two. If you haven't listened to part one yet, please go back and do so before continuing forward. We hope you enjoy.
But this part with the divided island also shows a little bit more where Alex is getting lost in the natural man, not just in like his, you know, he's starving and needs to eat, but also in the aspect of he split the island into people who want to go back and people who are making the best of it, basically. So we have Marty, who's like, I mean, obviously he wanted to experience the wild, but also he didn't necessarily want to be here. He wanted to go back to the zoo when he was done. Like, he didn't have that expectation to stay there, but he's like, you know, I'm going to figure this out. He like makes his little hut thing.
And you have like, Melman and Gloria too, who are like, dude, this is where we're at. Like,
like we need to eat, we need to kind of relax, we need to figure, there's only so much we can do, let's like do our best with what we have. And Alex is like, no, I want to go back, I want to go back. And I think part of the natural man is being like, I want to be in comfort and luxury, I don't want to face the hard things of life. And we tried our very hardest to avoid it. I think we live in an age where that's such a huge part of our experience, is the world is telling us that the best happiness there is to live in comfort and ease as much as you can, and that's what we're seeking after, whereas God is teaching us, no, actually the best you can have is going through these trials and understanding all of the tools you have, including and most importantly reaching out to him to face those things and pull through them and become a better person. It's about the becoming process. And Alex isn't ready to embrace that becoming process yet. And I think in part, a lot of his confusion and a lot of the difficulties that go along with his particular story in this connects with his lack of understanding of his identity, not just within the natural man, but also just like in a more general sense, if we're connecting it back to the gospel. In preparation for this discussion, I read The Hallmarks of Happiness by Elder Gary B. Sabin of the 70 from this last general conference. And in it, he describes several points that help us to understand what actually makes us happy long term. And his second observation is that it is crucial to our happiness that we remember that we are sons and daughters of a loving Heavenly Father. He tells the story of being on a plane and noticing this man in front of him who looks super angry, and he has like a number tattooed on the back of his head. Elder Sabin ends up asking this man what the number means. He's like a little nervous too, but he just asks him. And the guy replies, "It's me, that's my territory." And so Elder Sabin is like, it's so sad that this man sought an identity so much that he just sought for it in gang territories, like that's what was important to him. And he says, this tough looking man was once someone's little boy who still needed to feel valued and to belong. If only he knew who he really was and to whom he really belonged, for we all have been bought with a price. And I just think that just gets in the way so much of us overcoming the natural man and woman in us, is us forgetting what our actual identity it is. The natural man and woman is in all of us, but it is actually a temporal part of us while we're here on this earth that's meant to help us learn. It's not there to be who we are. Who we are is children of God, a God who loves us as a parent would, a perfect parent does. And we've also been bought with a price by our Savior Jesus Christ. We're also his, so long as we're willing to accept that sacrifice. And I think Alex gets lost in trying to figure out who he is and how to overcome this other side of him, because he forgets that he actually has someone else fighting in his corner to help him to overcome that as well.
I love that. I love too, I really am so glad that you brought up the Garden of Eden, because I think that's helping, like, I think that paints a more full picture of kind of the complexity of things that are being dealt with here. As they spend more time in the wild, we see Marty kind of trying to help Alex, like, really embrace his identity, right? You know, Alex is, they're having a race, and Marty is like, Alex always walks on 2 feet. Marty's like, Alex, that's not how you run in the wild. And so he like makes him get on 4 legs and like starts calling him a cat, right? And he like is helping teach him how to kind of embrace this part of himself and like really recognize. And it kind of has mixed results where it leads him more into those like natural instincts and tendencies that he has to fight to overcome. But it does help him better understand himself. And as he understands himself better, it's easier for him to fight those at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of this mutual. So he's learning and growing and progressing, but also gaining an understanding that helps him control himself in a new, more complete way rather than just ignorance and lack of knowledge mm-hmm. and opportunity to sin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go into a quote that I found that you helped remind me of, talking about kind of seeking comforts and that kind of stuff. And I also thought of almost like, I was thinking almost of the feeling of nostalgia, like how often mm-hmm. I know I do all the time, and I've heard other people say it as well. Do we wish that, like, we could go back to being kids, right? When things were simpler and things were easy, and ultimately it's kind of what you're describing. We want somebody else to take care of us, and we don't mm-hmm. want to have to face all of the challenges of life. And I think that that's a lot of what Alex is struggling with. He wants to go back to this childlike, I don't have to worry about anything world. But anyway, so in this talk, Home First, from 1990,
okay.
because I like to listen to old conference talks, and it just so happened I listened to this one and was like, oh, I feel like that applies to what I was thinking about. It's by Elder Rex D. Pinnegar of the Presidency of the 70. And he says, oh, so he's actually quoting David O. McKay right here, now that I'm looking at it more closely. but he's talking about how all of the like comforts that people can have, you know, a beautiful house with decorations and outward forms that will please the eye. And you can have all of these things, but not really have a home, right? Where at the same time you can have a hovel or a hut or a tent, but if you have the right spirit and the, you know, the true love of Christ and love for one another, fathers and mothers for the children, children for parents, husband and wife for each other, you have the true life of the home that Latter-day Saints build and wish they were striving to establish. And I was thinking a lot in all of this about how the friends kind of depend on each other to learn and grow and all of that. And he says earlier in this talk too, that families, I really did think of these friends as a little family because mm-hmm. I don't know what else they are.
Yeah, definitely found family.
Their family, mm-hmm. yeah. You know, he says, Heavenly Father's organized us into families for the purpose of helping us successfully meet the trials and challenges of life. It's our safety place, our support network, our sanctuary, and our salvation. And I just kind of love seeing Marty help Alex on this journey to discovering his identity in a really positive way. And then as we see later, helping him, like, you know, he is that support network, even mm-hmm. when they're struggling together. He is a safe place for Alex to go to no matter what, even when things are really difficult. And he helps him discover that identity and then helps him overcome the natural man that arises because of that identity. Mm-hmm. He's there for that whole process. And yeah. Alex really relies on him for that. And if I thought about it more, I could probably come up with ways that Marty relies on Alex yes. too. Mm. They're all here for each other in this process.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I'm like, I think Alex helps Marty remember that home is a really important thing yeah. and is something to be valued just as much as experiencing new things is. And that connection, I think Alex, even though he is very self-centered, he also consistently has this value for friendship yeah. and this value for that found family that they have.
For sure.
That he really cares about. And I think Marty going off on his own shows very much that he cares about it, but he maybe takes it more for granted than Alex necessarily right. does.
Whereas Alex like runs after him, right? Yes. Marty's mm-hmm. gone and he says, no, we need him back.
Yes. Immediately. Yeah. yeah. Where Melman's like, maybe we can wait. Or like, you know, Gloria also is like, let's go.
Right.
She's the powerful woman in the group. So she's 100%. Like the mother sister figure who's like, okay, y'all are being dumb boys. Let's go.
Yes. Yeah, no, definitely Alex has his strengths that Marty is lacking mm-hmm. in that he helps teach him over yeah. the course of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Which for such a like comedic kind of goofy movie, it's interesting that it has that level of depth of just like they both are very flawed in different ways, and they're both figuring things out. And, like, depending on the scene, one is definitely more in the wrong than the other, just depending on where they're at. Yeah.
Which I feel like we keep finding really impressively. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just kind of beautiful.
The more I actually think about this film, the more I'm like, okay, actually, it's a really well-made story for what it is, so...
Yeah.
Anyway. So some characters that are great that we haven't spent much time on are the penguins. We've briefly mentioned them. They ended up staying on the ship, part of what makes the other characters fall off the ship, because it turns suddenly, is because the penguins take charge and turn it to go to Antarctica.
Dude, I loved those penguins as a kid. I loved them.
Even now, rewatching it, I was like, wow, they're
solid. I have so much love in my heart for them.
They're amazing. So, anyway, so they took over the ship and they sent the humans off in a lifeboat. Don't worry, they didn't kill the humans. I'm like, this could have been a really dark storyline. They had gone a different direction, but yes, they send the humans off in a life raft and just take over this whole ship. And they end up making it to Antarctica, and we see this scene, like, after we've explored with Alex and Marty and all of them on Madagascar, we cut to the penguins on Antarctica. And they're just standing, staring at the nothingness, the vast expanse of whiteness that is Antarctica. They're in a blizzard.
Like this cold wind.
And it's like freezing, and they're all just staring. And all of a sudden, one of them says, well, this sucks. And then it cuts back to Marty and Alex. So that's all we get. And so we get this hint that they're not happy either. They had this expectation for what the world would be like, but they also came from a place of lack of understanding of what the realities were.
All they know is penguins are supposed to be here, and therefore will go.
We will
not
go
recognizing
there.
That there might be something better than just where penguins
are supposed to be. Yes, like they
according
have
to the world's standards.
Yes, you know, and like natural need for where they are, but that doesn't matter.
That's not
this
what
movie.
This movie is about.
Yes, it is. They are their own penguins, and they will do what they want to do.
This is about their humanity.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, the penguins' humanity.
Yeah, they don't have very much. So pretty brutal.
They are very intense, but they are a well-oiled machine of a group. Their own found family, where they just all have their roles. They know what they do.
They cannot be found family. They have to have some sort of like natural sibling instinct where they can read minds.
Naturally, are very connected. Like, they have their own flaws and lack of information, but they know right from the get-go that they need each other, and they just are down for that. So that is their strength. Anyway, so we see that. And then jumping back, kind of going a little more in detail about some of the development of Alex into more of his natural instincts, we see, as Kariana mentioned earlier, Marty trying to help him to just embrace the natural identity and expectations and desires of who Alex is as a lion, while still not understanding the idea of carnivores and herbivores.
Prey and predator.
Yes, exactly. And it's interesting because they are running through this beautiful expanse of meadow, and Alex says, I haven't eaten in 2 days, I don't have the energy. And Marty's response is, that's not your problem. And we're like, actually, no, that literally is his problem.
I think that's his problem.
That is the problem, is he hasn't eaten in 2 days and he's starving and he's a lion. And what he naturally is going to go after is you to eat.
I know, and then he starts teaching him how to run like a predator, and I'm like, Marty, stop.
I'm like, Marty, you're such an idiot.
I'm stressing out.
But he just doesn't know. He just doesn't understand. That's the whole point. And so I do think it's interesting, just kind of the switching of, like, you know, Marty, like, Alex didn't listen to Marty when all of this started very well. He wasn't actively listening to Marty. And now Marty's not actively listening to Alex. And that's what causes their problem, is this lack of honest and genuine communication between the two of them. Which I think is very telling. Like, going back to Garden of Eden, I think we're just going to carry this all the way through. We have Adam and Eve. And I think it's interesting in this context, realizing that God made sure that they had each other. Mm-hmm. Because he knew that in order to overcome the natural man and to overcome just opposition in the world, we needed other other people to help support us. We needed to support and teach each other. And like neither one, obviously Adam and Eve, neither one have experienced the opposition, but they're a lot better at facing, gaining that knowledge when they're together. Like that was the whole point. That's a huge part of God's plan, is doing things with other people. And so seeing this with Marty and Alex and how things are way worse because they're not listening to each other than they would be if, like, they'd still face these same oppositions and same desires and natural man tendencies, but it probably would have gone down a lot better if they had actually been willing to actively listen and selflessly serve each other, which actually, connecting back to the talk that I was reading, point three is to always remember the worth of a soul. So he goes from remembering our own identity and then remember the identity of other people and remember that they're also worth a lot to God and also have that same connection with him as we do. And we have the opportunity to be a conduit through which God is able to serve them the way they deserve to be served.
Something that I hadn't thought about before this conversation that we've had, but I love this idea of like identity as well. That really does just add so much more depth than what, like, it was much, his character was much more simple in my head, but kind of adding that divine identity along with it is like super interesting. And I love one thing that I thought was really interesting was you said in your summary of the natural man that the natural man can only ever provide fleeting satisfaction, right? And I was kind of thinking about that idea of satisfaction and temporary pleasure versus like eternal joy, right? And I love the fact that in the finding of his identity, he experiences so much joy. He just really, like, he's instantly energized. Like, Marty's almost right in that that's not his problem. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a level where obviously that is a problem. But, yeah. Like, once he starts to connect with that side of himself as a lion, like, he can really, really experience a much deeper level of joy than he's ever really felt before, which I just think is absolutely beautiful. And then where I was initially going with that before I was thinking about identity was we see as Alex struggles with his hunger, we see kind of a progression. The first night that they spend on the island where they're in Marty's little fancy hut that he builds, he wakes up from a dream where he's licking a steak and he's actually licking Marty. And everybody thinks he's super weird. And then we see him, like, as he's, like, getting into his natural identity, Marty tells him to put on a show for all of the lemurs. And so he starts going into his act from the zoo and ends up getting super into it and biting Marty. He starts to see everybody as steak. Mm-hmm. Everybody becomes steak. And so he bites Marty, wanting steak so bad. And then finally, at the end of that scene, Alex kind of goes full predator and starts to chase after Marty, actually with the intention of, like, eating him. Mm-hmm. And he gets hit in the head with a coconut, which was on purpose. Who hit him in the head with a coconut?
Yes, it was Julian.
Julian, mm-hmm. Yeah. So he gets stopped, and once he kind of, like, recovers from this coconut, he looks up and sees Marty turn back into Marty from the steak. Mm-hmm. He says, "I'm sorry, Marty." Like, he feels this instant regret. And I thought it was interesting thinking about, like, we all have our temptations, right? Certain things are going to be harder for each of us than others. And I guess I just connected with that really, really strongly, where I've thought about times where in the moment, I just don't care. You know, I'm like, mm-hmm. this is what I want and I'm doing it. And even if I have, like, the spirit in the back of my head, it can just be like, no, I'm in the moment here and I'm ignoring you and I'm doing what I want. And then as soon as you're brought out of it by whatever that might be, it's this, like, immediate, like, oh my gosh, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. Like, I can't count how many times I've, like, done something and then, like, after the moment is over, been like, oh my gosh, God, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, as soon as almost the spell is kind of broken, that coconut hits you on the head.
Got hit in the head with coconut.
Yeah. And so I just thought that was super interesting, and thinking about the natural man, like, it, imagine if he had caught Marty, like, he would be so satisfied. He would go for it and his stomach would be full and he would be so happy. And then he would snap out of it and see what had happened, and nothing would ever be okay again. Yeah. Can you even imagine? Mm-hmm. Like, that would be the worst thing of his entire life. Something that he thought he wanted so badly. So I don't have an end to that thought. That's just it. That's all. Yeah, just that idea of fleeting happiness was really, really powerful for me in that moment. So then right after that, we have the classic. It's classic to me, I guess. The iconic, like, this is why I know the song, It's a Wonderful World.
Okay.
Earliest memory of that song. And so we have this scene where Marty's, like, super depressed. Gloria and Melman are super depressed. Like, everybody's like, what just happened? What is going on right now? They've kind of had the revelation that everyone is stake, right? The lemurs finally told them, like, he belongs on the predator side of the island. He wants to eat all of you. Mm-hmm. And so they're all just kind of walking through this island that has been so beautiful, and they've been thriving in it, and everything has been good. And all of a sudden, they see all of kind of the death and carnage, and it's this really over-the-top dramatic scene, but they see, like, just everything being attacked. This little mouse gets attacked by a snake, and then when he survives, he gets eaten by an eagle, and then there's this little duckling where they're like, oh no, and so they, like, pick it up and bring it to the water so it's safe, and then it gets chomped by an alligator, and it's just, like, it's just this brutal scene of death and sadness, and kind of this moment of realization for the three of them who haven't really been facing opposition this entire time. Like, honestly, they've kind of had it easy while Alex is struggling. And this has been the first moment where things have turned really bad once that struggle kind of got turned out onto all of them. And suddenly they can see, like, this place is actually brutal. Mm-hmm. And this is scary, and we don't want to be here. And it's the first time I think Marty especially really feels the appreciation for home and safety and comfort.
So yeah, there's not a lot left in the story. It's a pretty short film, but we see after Alex does end up going to the predator side of the island, and the others, Marty in particular, goes to go find him. Gloria and Melman are on the beach. Oh yeah, they see the ship comes, and they end up getting its attention, and it pulls in, and the penguins are on it and get off, and Marty, while this is all happening, ends up sneaking off to go find Alex and go get him so that they can get on the ship and go home. And so Gloria and Melman are like, oh no, they're gone. And so the penguins are like, we got this. We'll go help them. So, because they just, again, they just instinctively, they have that connection and appreciation for connection that the foursome that we are following don't quite understand yet. Especially at this point, they're starting to understand it better. But early on, they didn't. So Marty goes off and finds Alex, who has created basically a cage for himself to try to avoid hurting any of his friends again.
Which, again, awesome. Yes. Like, are you kidding me? Like, antagonist, just, what?
I know, seriously. Like, he's there trying to contain these natural urges.
And here's something I actually love about that. He does it in a way using the safe environment of what he knows. Mm-hmm. Like, he creates this cage that we then see in this, like, vision, daydream, hunger, hallucination thing.
Yes.
That, like, parallels his cage at the zoo. Mm-hmm. So he, like, knows where he's safe and good from these temptations. Mm-hmm. And he recreates this, like, environment where he knows he's capable of not controlling himself. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, he's so good.
Yeah, he wants to be a good person, a good lion.
He wants to be a good lion.
He wants to be a good lion. So anyway, they have this interaction that's really sweet, where Marty kind of is, like, trying to encourage him and being like, I know who you are, like, almost reminding him of his true identity of who he really is. It's mm-hmm. not just, you know, yes, you're a lion and you're learning a little bit more about yourself, but ultimately who you are is my friend, and you are a performer, and you're someone who, you love New York, and your home is New York, and that's what you need to hang on to. And then Marty ends up being attacked by the Fusa, is that what they call them? And so they're chasing him down, and then Gloria and Melman end up coming, trying to help out, and it doesn't necessarily end up all that well. They kind of end up getting cornered. And so Alex shows up pretending to be the predator he is, that he understands a little bit better, and so he's able to go in and scare the Fusa off, and they beat him up, basically, and end up coming up on top. We'll just kind of sum it up that way. But I do like in this, I can't remember what he actually says, but he basically is like, thank you for not giving up on me, Marty. Maybe that is literally what he says. Yeah, something pretty much like that. And it's really sweet because, again, it just goes to show that the best way for him to overcome this natural lion in him is to rely on his friends, and those relationships are what bring him out of that difficult place of opposition.
It is kind of awesome too that he is able to use, like you said, that understanding. Like, it's something that seems dangerous and scary to everybody, but once he embraces it and understands it, like, before we see him roaring and he doesn't understand that people are scared of him, like what I was talking about earlier, right? Like, he mm-hmm. doesn't even recognize that he's scary. But through this process, he's recognized, like, oh, when my claws are out and when I roar and when I show my teeth and when I do these things, that's scary. Mm-hmm. And it's, I love the idea that all of our identities are different, but they can all be used in a way to create progress and to help each other, even when it's so easy to see certain problems or oppositions or temptations or whatever just as flaws, when actually God has promised us that all things can be used for our betterment. And Alex proves that right here, where he can take this dangerous and scary thing, but use it for everyone's well-being. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Yeah, I like that too, because I think sometimes we also come to this earth and we think, oh, the natural man is bad.
Yeah.
And that's just like the end of it. And it is obviously bad. Like, it's a passion that goes against the promptings of the spirit. But in understanding what it actually is on a deeper level, we're better able to serve ourselves in the right direction. Like, my first instinct is to think of, like, understanding sex.
Yep.
Like, it can get very, obviously, that's something where it's meant for a very specific setting. And if it's outside of that setting, then it's really bad, because it's misusing a gift that God has given us. But, like, fearing it and, like, pushing it away and ignoring its existence, like Alex ignoring the existence of his carnivorous desires, while he's in the Zoom, because he's in a position where he doesn't have to think about that, isn't actually helping him overcome it. It's just helping him not worry about it for a period of time until he has to. Mm-hmm. And at that point, when he has to, he doesn't have enough background knowledge to be prepared to effectively deal with it. And I think it's a similar situation with things like just any sin, really, that we're driven to do due to different passions and desires and whatever. When we better understand where those feelings are coming from, we're a lot better able to fight them off and to put them in the proper perspective, because they're almost like a separate thing from us. It doesn't feel like it's just like this urge that you can't control and it's just part of you. It feels more like, okay, this is something separate from me that has an impact on me, but I can fight it off. Right. It makes it a lot more...
Or use it.
Yes.
Correctly.
Or correctly use it. Exactly. It's a really interesting dynamic there where, again, it connects back to a lot of, like, Christian beliefs about the Garden of Eden, of like, oh, they really sinned terribly eating the fruit and it's all Eve's fault and all of that jazz, comes from a complete lack of understanding of what our purpose here actually is. And part of that purpose is to not just ignore opposition, it's to face opposition and understand it so that we can effectively defeat it in the long run. So basically, in the end, they come out on top and it's really exciting, and they decide to get on the boat to sail away to go back to New York. We get a cute little moment where the penguins mention that the boat is actually out of gas, so they can't go anywhere, but they're having a really nice farewell moment, and the penguins are like, eh, they'll figure it out, it's fine.
And we learned that Alex likes fish. So we are safe from
He can eat, he's not going to starve to death.
Yes. However long we're stuck on this island, he can eat fish.
Yes, he's into the fish, and that's all fine. So it's a happy ending for the most part, with that little hint of like, oh, they can't actually get off of Madagascar, which is where the second one starts, is with them. They had have found out a way to get off Madagascar, spoiler alert.
At the beginning of the movie.
Yes, at the very beginning of the movie, they find a new way and end up going somewhere else, which is a whole other interesting adventure on its own, in which they learn even more about family and connections. So, this was a great discussion. I actually am kind of surprised that Madagascar turned into such a good discussion.
Come on, Tori.
I was like, hey, I had faith in us, but I was really like, Madagascar, I don't know about that one. So this is great. Just a final thought from that Hallmarks of Happiness talk that I just think is a really important thing to bring it back to, all back to. He has 5 points, and I've mentioned a couple of them in this discussion, but his first point that he makes is that building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ is essential to our happiness. This is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if men build, they cannot fall. Doing so prepares us for the challenges of life, come what may. And I want to add my testimony to that, that if we build our foundation on Jesus Christ and all of this opposition that comes from the natural man in all of us and our own lack of understanding in given situations, all of that can be healed and helped through Jesus Christ as long as we are built upon him and our testimonies of him and relationship with him. So yes, I think that's pretty much all of my thoughts. Do you have anything you wanted to wrap up with?
Nope.
Great. Okay. So thank you all for watching, listening. Let us know down below your thoughts on our discussions in the comments. Also be sure to subscribe and like/give us a review depending on where you are watching or listening to our discussion. Also follow us on Instagram at God in All Things. We have do a few posts over there. And if you're interested in what I'm reading in general, you can check me out on the channel Good Strong Words on YouTube. And I think that will do it. So thank you again so much for watching. We hope you are having a wonderful week. Keep remembering to see God in all things, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.